ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா, வெல்கம். டுடே ஐம் கோயிங் டு டாக் அபௌட் லார்ட் ஜகநாத், காட் ஆஃப் தி பீப்பிள். சோ பிகாஸ் வி டோன்ட் ஹேவ் டீடீஸ் ஆஃப் லார்ட் ஜகநாத், ஐ ப்ராட் சம். ஹியர் தே ஆர், லார்ட் ஜகநாத் ஹிம்செல்ஃப், லார்ட் ஆஃப் தி யூனிவர்ஸ், Balaram, his older brother, and their sister, younger sister, Subhadra. There they are. Sudarshan Chakra. Right. So, on Wednesday is Purnima, full moon. And it is the Jagannath Snana Yatra, where they bathe Jagannath deities. Of course, Jagannath is famous, very famous nowadays, thanks to our founder Acharya Prabhupada. He has spread the pastime and the festival of Rath Yatra pretty much throughout the world, major cities now, where it used to be confined to Puri in Orissa. Now it's everywhere. Very popular. Very popular. Everybody somehow loves Jagannath. So I'll just do a very quick recap, very quick, on how Jagannath came to be. In Satyayuga, we're in Kali Yuga now, in Satyayuga, the Golden Age, about how long ago was that? About 3 million years ago. 3 million years ago. Scientists can't keep track of it. No. It's prehistoric. It's before they started writing stuff down. But it's there in the Vedas. Somebody wrote it down. Isn't that interesting? Yet, we'll pay no attention to that, because we haven't discovered it in the last 500 years. What's the point? That's their attitude. Anyway, about 3 million years ago, King Indrajumna and his wife, Gundicha, Queen Gundicha, lived in Avanti, which is somewhere in the middle of India. And they were very, very pious devotees. They were very sincere devotees of Lord Vishnu. Vishnu, Krishna, same. A Brahmin pilgrim came to visit their kingdom one day and told the king's advisors about this amazing deity called Nilamadava. And this deity was a forearm form deity of Vishnu, and whose mere darshan, just by seeing the deity, mere vision of the deity, it would award one with moksha. Moksha means liberation from samsara, repeated birth and death, just by seeing the deity. So when the king heard about this, he said, I must go and see this deity. He was very serious about it. Even if you died on the way to his temple, Nilamadava, you would get moksha. Pretty impressive. So the king decided, by this time, these Brahmin visitors had exited. They had left the kingdom. When the king heard about it, he says, well, where is this deity? Nobody knew. Nobody knew where to go or where to find the deity. So he sent out search parties in every which direction to find this Nilamadava. And finally, when they found it, it was in Orissa. I don't know if it was called Orissa back then, but that's where it was. So the king decided to move his entire kingdom, lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, everybody, everything, put them on wheels, put them on horses, put them on whatever you can, carts, carriages. We're moving the entire kingdom to go build a beautiful temple for Nilamadava. By the time they got there, I'm just doing you the very short version of the story. The forest was gone. The place is gone. Nilamadava was gone. Nowhere to be found. The king was despondent. Oh my goodness, what shall I do? Here we've come to see Nilamadava. Nilamadava is gone. That night, while sleeping, he had a dream. And the Lord came to him in the dream and he said, "Don't worry, don't worry. I brought you here for a purpose." How many times has God given you in a dream or a vision and said to you, "I brought you here for a purpose"? Anybody? Come on. You weren't listening carefully enough, maybe. Anyway, that's what he heard. He said, "Go to the sea," because Puri is on the sea. It's on the Bay of Bengal. And he said, "You will find a huge log floating in the ocean." He said, "You take this log, and this is, I want you to find a Shilpi, a carver, a sculptor. And he will carve murtis of myself and Balaram, my brother, and Subhadra, and my Sudarshan Chakra. And you will build your temple, and I will be happy." Okay? So they went down to the sea the next day, and sure enough, there's this huge neem log floating. And that is the log they took, and they called for Shilpis to come forth to carve the log into these three deities. It was large. And many, many came from all around because they wanted to have the privilege of carving the deities for the king and for the pleasure of the Lord. And plus they'd be probably gainfully employed as well as doing service. And many of them, one at a time, would start to carve. You know, they're like, it's an audition sort of thing. Let's see what you can do, you know, carving on the log. And their tools would break. Every one of them, the tools would break. So, we can't use him, we can't use him, we can't use him. And then this old guy, bent over, bag of tools, Shilpi. I will carve. And sure enough, he pulled out his tool, he started carving, no problem. His tools worked fine. So this was the one. So he said, where is the room in which I will carve? Bring the log there. He says, "Now, it will take me 21 days. Do not enter. You must promise not to enter the room where I am carving. Under no circumstances will you enter. If you enter, I will stop. I will not complete the task. That's all I ask. Simple." Queen Gundicha, here some tick, 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 tick. She go up to the door. She press her ear against the door. And you can hear the Shilpi and the sounds of the carving and the cutting and the et cetera. And then several days went by, you heard nothing. Not a thing. So she began to become worried, and she says to her husband, the king, my lord, we must go in. The old man is not carving, I hear no sounds. And he says, "No, we were told, whatever happened, don't go in, just leave it alone, wait till he's done, he'll come out." But sometimes, you know, women get upset, they worry, they become a little more worried, a little more in anxiety. She convinced her husband that they must go in and see. Maybe he died, he's so old. What if he's dead in there? So they entered the carving area. What did they find? He was gone. Because the Shilpi was Vishnu, himself. And what was left? These images right here, not painted, only carved. 1, 2, 3, 4. That was it. What is this? This does not resemble a deity of Vishnu. This is what Vishnu wanted. So that's how it happened. And then they came to paint the deities. And Lord Jagannath is famous now throughout the world. And this is Kali Yuga. This is 3 million years later. So how well does your fame extend, my friends? How long have you been famous for? 5 years? 10 years? How well known are you? 3 million years? That's God. Okay, that's how we got the deity. Now, we know in Vedanta, in Vedic understanding, the reason God takes the form of a deity or a murti is so that people will have a chance to come and worship the murti in the temple, in the shrine, in the picture, on your little altar at home, whatever. There are many, many ways. Why? Because we cannot see God in the flesh. Well, God doesn't have flesh, but we cannot see his form directly. So he does us this favor. He grants us this mercy by allowing us to worship him in deity form. No matter how evolved or spiritually advanced we may be, or not spiritually advanced. We might be neophytes, we might be beginners. It's fine. We can worship God in deity form. That's the purpose of the deity. The other thing that is very important with Jagannath, in his udara, navel area, they place the soul substance. That's what they call it in English. Soul substance. The essence of his being, which they say is Shalagram Shila. Shalagram Shila, the sacred stones that we find with certain special markings of Vishnu on them, generally at the bottom of rivers such as the Ganges, Ganga, Yamuna, many rivers. It's not just one. And this is placed in the navel area. That is like his soul. Jagannath is different than many deities. Once you carve a deity in stone, in metal, that's it. There's the deity. And as long as it is looked after, that deity can last for who knows how long. Years and years and years and years. But this is wood. Wood does not last that long. Even neem does not last that long. So Jagannath goes through his Navakalevara. Every now and then he takes on a new body, just like we do. When the old one begins to wear out, generally with him it's every 12 years, more or less. And it says that deities made out of wood last 12 years. Deities made out of gemstones last 10,000 years. And wood, I say, it's only 12 years. So Jagannath has a lila or a pastime where his devotees can work with him in ways that mostly you don't do with deities. And he likes the rough and tumble of life. And he likes just being with the people, you know, in a regular way. There's a lot of, I'm not saying there isn't formality in his worship, but Jagannath's happy to dispense with the formalities and just become like one of the people. And that's why he's so loved. And that's why I've seen with my own eyes many times. I've been to Rath Yatra in several cities, including Puri. And I just see people with big smiles on their face when they see Jagannath coming. you know. They don't even know what it is. Well, what is that? But they're all smiling, and they start chanting, and I don't know. It has an effect. You know, there's some method behind this, obviously. So, in the Brihat Sanghita, it says, worshippers of wooden deities are blessed with long life, beauty, strength, and victory. Let's tell you a story. There was a king named Kalapahad. He was a Hindu king or a follower of Vedanta. And he considered himself to be a devotee of Jagannath. In order to marry a Muslim girl, he had to convert and become a Muslim. Now, when was this? This was 16th century of the Common Era. If you don't like CE, Common Era, it's AD. 16th century. And the year was 1568. All right? Now, let us remember that the Muslim invasions of India began around the 6th century of the Common Era. 6th century. So this is what? 1,000 years into the future. Right? So, at the time, the state of Orissa, or Puri, did not have a king. It's not clear. Either the king wasn't there at the time, or they had no king. That's what it said in the story. So, now he had, in that time, the Muslims had invaded extensively. Not only in the northern part of India, where they had entered India, but also they had made inroads in the south, as we know. And Kalapahad, even though once you marry a Muslim girl, you're a Muslim. And even today, you cannot go into the Jagannath temple in Puri if you are non-Hindu. And they don't let guys like me in. I can tell them I've been a Vaishnava for 50 years, and they just go, And? They don't look right. But the reason they did this, apparently, was because of the Muslim invasions. The Muslims would invade. Would they just invade and steal things and kill some people? No, they would devastate the culture. They tear down temples. They destroy the deities. I mean, they destroy everything. They want to replace it with their own culture. There's many, many temples that were destroyed, and they built mosques on those spots because they knew they were holy spots. If you go to Krishna's birthplace in Mathura today, you will not find a temple there where there used to be one. You will find a mosque. So they said, okay, this is it now. We have to make a rule. Only our people who believe in the Lord are let in the door. That's the rule. So Kalapahad wanted to come to Puri and see Jagannath, because he still liked Jagannath just because he married a Muslim girl. He's a king, no problem. But the pundits said, oh, no, no, no. You don't come in. You are not Muslim. You're not welcome here. And In their estimation, he had become, which is the word that is used, Mlecha. Mlecha is what? Is a barbarian. Barbarian is what? Is somebody who tries to completely destroy the culture. Completely. And everything you represent and everything you believe in. And wipe you off the map. That's a barbarian. So, yes, we know there are invaders, but then there are barbarians. Kalapahad was verbally castigated and thrown out. He got his walking papers. He departed in humiliation. The spark of this insult grew into a blazing fire of revenge. I will get even with these people. He vowed to bring devastation to Vedic spiritual culture, its temples, and its deities. And he chose to begin with whom? Jagannath. So he arrayed his army in nearby Cuttack. Fearful of an imminent attack, the priests, they got wind of it, they removed the deities and Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra from the temple, and were in the process of moving them near Lake Chilicat, which is south of Puri, in order to protect them. When Kalapahad entered the temple through force, he found that the deities had been removed, which further inflamed his fury and his rage. This culminated in the destruction of all the smaller shrines and murtis in the immediate temple complex. So he destroyed what he could. Then he went on the hunt, looking for these deities and where they had been secreted. Discovering the hiding place of Jagannath, he swore, "I will burn him on the banks of the Ganga. I will take him to the holiest river in India, and I will burn him. He's wood. And I will show him who's in charge, who's boss. I will not take this insult." So they tied Jagannath with leather straps to an elephant. He had his army with him. So of course they have elephants. And dragged them through the dirt through the streets of Puri. That's what they did. While the invading army shouted, "Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! God is great." By the way, side note, Jagannath is a huge deity. If you've seen him in person, I've seen him in person a few times now. Not in the temple, but outside the temple when we went to Puri. He's 5'7" tall, and his arm span is 12 feet. He's very big, he's very heavy. When they move him, they got to sort of make him go forward like this, and so he goes, fatum, fatum, fatum. That's how they bring him out of the temple, and until they get him to the chariot and hoist him up on the chariot on a ramp. That's how they do it. Okay. Thousands of devotees, Purivasis, the people who lived in Puri, looked on helplessly. What did they do? Nothing. They did nothing to stop the formidable forces of Kalapahad, since they had no king to lead them or to inspire their retaliation. With tears in their eyes and heads hung in shame, they chanted the holy name of their worshipable Lord, Jagannath, Lord of the universe. As the army of Jagannath's captors exited the town, a local madman appeared. His name is Bishar Mahanti. Skinny as a rail, very, very poor man, loincloth down to his knees, dirty, ragged, bit of that turban thing you wrap on the head, not exactly a turban, like you often see, you see today in India. No? So Bishar Mahanti ran after them behind the army as if possessed by some sort of tempestuous fury. This frail and weak pauper, with his ribs protruding, began to beat discordantly on this huge mridanga. The guy couldn't play mridanga. This is the first problem. But he played it anyway, chanting, and he followed the army. Well, what do most of us do when we see a madman? No matter where we are. Well, that guy's mad. What else do we do? Nothing. We just acknowledge it's a madman and we carry on, right? or he at least appears to be a madman. We've got some sound effects here to help us out. Jagannath has given us full cooperation. Thank you, Lordships. It only cost me €5, so it gets this guy to do this. But the timing has been exact. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, that's good now. You've done it for me. Calm down now, my friend. Calm down. The army arrived at the banks of the Ganga at Hooghly, outside of Kolkata, just north of Kolkata. They built a huge funeral pyre, and they placed the damaged deity, by this time, very damaged. How far did they go? How far is that trip? 500 kilometers. How long did it take them? 8 months. 8 months. Dragging Jagannath. So, they set up a funeral pyre, placed the damaged deity of Jagannath upon it, and set it alight. The flames encompassed the wooden deity, but wonder of wonders, they did not burn him. He did not burn. Wood's supposed to burn. Painted wood should burn even easier. He did not burn. No matter how many pieces of wood they put on the fire went on and on and on. And this Kalapahad sitting there, why doesn't this guy burn? Doesn't. Finally, they just let the fire go out. And at that time, Kalapahad's body broke, shattered into many, many pieces. Which is exactly what he was trying to do to Jagannath. And he was finished. His son took the deity of Jagannath off the pyre and tossed it into the Ganga, where he floated. Since the army was still nearby, the crazy man, Bishara Mahanti, trying not to be noticed, well, they were so used to him by now, this guy was your favorite, but what's he doing now? You know, here he is. He's still here? Yeah, he's still here. No one's paying attention to him at this point in time, naturally. So he slips into the Ganga, and he opens up the udara, the gutikodara, the gutika, is the soul substance. And he quietly, surreptitiously removes it from the deity. Can't do much with the deity. It's very damaged. And he can't lift it. And he secrets it in the mridanga, inside the mridanga. That's what he did. And he escaped. He saved Jagannath, this so-called madman. And from that point, when the Qadi, which was the Muslim governor of Bengal at the time, found out about this, he said, "You have burned the Lord of Orissa, and this is the consequence. He'll suffer the consequence because the guy is dead. In fact, in pieces." So, the soldiers did not notice that Bishara Mahanti had taken this soul substance from the deity. And he took it to the village, back to Orissa, to a village known as Kujanga. And where history confirms it was worshipped secretly until 1586. So we started that story in 1568, and now this is 1586. So this soul substance has been transferred from the deity to each new incarnation of the deity. So about every 12 years, as mentioned, Jagannath, the old deities will be retired. They'll be buried under the ground on the temple complex in Puri. But first, the soul substance will be removed from the deities, that their essence, or the shalagram. And that's usually done at midnight in pitch dark. We have Brahmins, the priests, who worship the deity on the altar. But then we also have the Daitas. The Daitas are a different group. They're not Brahmins, but they are the ones who look after Jagannath whenever he is. There are certain duties that they have, and anything that goes on outside the temple, it's the Daitas. I won't give you the history of all that, but it's a separate group of people. But, you know, it's been generation after generation after generation. So they are blindfolded in the dead of night, and they can't actually see what they're doing. They have to take silk cloth and whatever they're taking out of the deity. They're not touching it, they're touching it with the cloth and then putting it into the new deity. That's how that's done. It is a great honor. I have met people in Puri, the Daita, the Mahapatra families, and it's the greatest honor if you get chosen for this. Usually it's an older, much, much older person, maybe in their 80s. Sometimes it's younger, and it's the greatest mercy, Bhagavat Kripa. But what happens to each and every one of them? Once they do this service, the seva for the deity, they will die. Within the next year, year and a half, they all die. That is guaranteed. And what happens to them? They go back to the spiritual world. They go to Vaikuntha. So, greatest honor that one can have. When we were there, we met one of the sons in 2015, which was the last Navakalevara, when they changed the deity. And his father did it that year. He changed the soul substance. And we met his father as well. So I don't know if he's still alive at this point in time, because that's 3 years ago. How did they select the wood? When Jagannath has to change forms, just like we do, we change forms. Now, God is God, but that's how he plays the leela out. That's why he becomes the God of the people, because he does like we do. He changes forms. So this is all documented, and it's very particular. Skanda Purana. That's what I was trying to remember. Skanda Purana. So they only use neem tree, because neem has great medicinal value, as we know. It is also antiseptic in its properties. You can use it, neem oil or neem balm. It's a wonderful healer. It has a very bitter taste, so insects avoid it. It doesn't become infested with insects like many trees would. It's pest-free. But when it gets old, it can live to, they can live to 140 years, neem trees. When they get old, they undergo a transformation. And they stop being bitter. And this beautiful fragrance of sandalwood begins to emanate from their trunk. And they begin to taste sweet and not bitter. As it ages, the bark thickens and becomes rougher and rougher, and then it cracks into smaller, you know, doesn't fall off, but it just cracks into different patterns. And it cracks and showing clear patterns of Shankara Chakra Gada Padma, of the conch shell that Vishnu holds, the chakra, Sudarshan Chakra, his weapon, or if you like, his method for enlightenment, the club, Gada, and Padma, lotus flower. So that's what they look for on the trees, these specific markings. We might mention that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth under a neem tree. So his nickname became Nimai. And because he was a pundit, by the time he was 12 years old, he was called Nimai Pandit. In the Bhavishya Purana, it says the neem is worthy of worship by all. Now, selecting the Daru. This is called Daru Brahman. Daru is wood, Brahman is God. This is the divine manifestation of God in wood form. So, the first thing they do is they organize a party to go out. And these are the Daita Patis. They go out into the forests and they look for four different trees. And they look for a special marking. So I'm going to read some of that to you in a moment, what they do look for. The first place they visit in their fairly big party is a temple of Mangala Devi, somewhere outside the city. They invoke there the goddess of dream. So they do an abhishek, and they put 108, you know, pots of water and anoint the deity. And then they do the Swapnavati mantra 108 times. And then they take rest. And they wait for the dream that tells them which way to go to find the tree that they're looking for. And it's always in the same order. So the first tree is Sudarshan, Balaram, Subhadra, Jagannath. That's the order. So sometimes a flower will fall off her garland and in a certain direction, that will tell them which way to go. Or sometimes they just are told clearly in the dream and off they go. So as they are directed in the dream, that's where they go. Now, what are the features that have to be there before they select a particular tree for the purpose of carving a deity? The color of the tree must be black or crimson only. The trunk of the tree should be straight, handsomely attractive, and have a length of between 10.5 to 20 feet. It should have more than 4 major branches. The tree must be located at a spot where hills surround it, or must be near a river or a pond. There must be a source of water nearby. Also, there should be a funeral ground nearby. What is it? Smashan? There should also be a Shiva temple in proximity. No nest of any birds can be on the branches of the tree. The tree has to be without any insects, any birds, nothing. Just the tree. No parasites. Not a branch could have been affected by a storm, cyclone, lightning, not damaged, in other words. There also must be an ant hill at the foot of the tree. There's a lot of stipulations. And generally, who's living in the anthill? I know you're going to tell me ants. Cobras. Cobras. Sometimes a couple, sometimes a lot. But of course, all around, Vishnu lies on the Sheshanaga, the serpent couch, as he creates the creation in the material world. So these cobras are regarded as sacred, and Balaram is Anantashesha, or Mahasankarsana. Cobras must be guarding the tree. There has to be. On the body of the tree itself, there must be the Lord symbol, as we said. Conch, disc, chakra, whatever. They must see it. And the tree must be surrounded by other trees such as Varuna, Sahada, Bail. There also needs to be an ashram nearby, a monastery. So that's what needs to be there. That's a lot of things that is not easy to find. And they search. Sometimes the whole operation takes them months, couple months, sometimes longer. By the time they find them all, and they have to find them in the right order. Now, let's just take a couple of examples. What has actually happened in the past. And here's a tree that was selected many years ago, like in the 1990s, not so long ago, for Jagannath. The usual practice, all the branches, parts of the tree, after the dadu is separated, are covered under the ground with earth. So they do a lot of rituals and a lot of prayers and mantras, etc., as we know, before the tree is cut. And then the branches and various things are separated from the tree. All of that, which they're not going to take, they're only going to take the part of the tree, the log, that they need for the deity, a little extra. But they're not going to take all the other bits and pieces of the tree. Are they going to leave them lying there? No. They're going to bury them under the ground. These are sacred. They're known to be sacred. So they're separated, covered under the ground with earth. Purpose is to save the various parts of the holy tree from any unwanted use by the common man. This is a sacred tree. When the Dara was about to be taken in its glorious journey, about 11 o'clock in the morning, two young men rushed there, panting. While praying for divine pardon before the Daitapatis, they handed over a tiny piece of wood that they had collected and carried home the day before. Part of the tree. Remnant. Their beings were shaking with fear. On inquiry, it was revealed that the previous day they had carried home a small piece of wood from there while on a devotional visit to the site. They wanted to see the sacred tree. But they took this piece of wood. They're riding home on a motor scooter, and they were taken with fright because they began to be chased by two cobras. And the cobras kept following them. And the faster they went on the scooter, the cobras were following them. They became afraid, confused, and they lost control of the scooter, and it crashed. It was minor. It wasn't a major crash. And one of them broke his leg, and the other one was injured slightly. So they had brought the piece back the next day. There's another story of a very poor man who had a beautiful neem tree in his yard, and for about 5 years he was thinking, if I sell this tree, it will give me enough money and I can take care of my family and various expenses on his property. He thought about this long and hard for about 5 years. And then decided, yes, I will see who wants to buy the tree. Well, many people wanted to buy the tree. And, of course, he's going to take the highest bid. Who's ever going to pay the most? And one man offered a certain bid. He says, yes, that's very good. I will accept that. And the tree was sold. To celebrate the sale of the tree, he ordered a feast to be cooked and given to the locals. And while they were there, cooking was almost over when the following happened. Two cobras from nowhere, from seemingly out of nowhere, appeared on the spot. They coiled themselves, which of course, once cobras coil themselves, we all go, what's going to happen now? That's when it gets dangerous. They coiled themselves there as if nothing was going on there, as if they didn't even have any awareness of all the people that were there for this feast. Initially, we did not give much importance to their presence, presuming that the innocent creatures would slide as calmly away as they had appeared. We thought it both unwise and undesirable to harm them, as they did not cause any harm to us. It's the right attitude. Before the lapse of 10 minutes, the entire neem tree began to shake as if struck by a powerful gust of wind, only there was no wind that day. This instantaneous phenomenon attracted our undivided attention to the tree. So everybody looked at the tree when they heard all this shaking going on. And what did they see? The tree was now covered with hundreds and hundreds of cobras from every branch. Every branch. Many of them fell down, doing pranam, dandavat. They ran off to the nearby temple and began to ask for forgiveness, ask for mercy. We don't know what we did. We want to atone for whatever it was. Then they came back. Cobras were gone. So they realized that this was a sacred tree. And that tree was for Sudarshan Chakra. That's the tree that was used for that. When we were there for the Rath Yatra in 2015 for the Navakalevara, where they changed the deity. Brand new deities, plural. And then we were also, and there were about 1 million people there for Rath Yatra. As we know, when there's festivals in India, they're the biggest in the world. There are spiritual festivals are the biggest. Tirupati, that's another place. Anyway, the next year we went again in 2016. And I'll just tell you a small experience that I had. It's not quite as eye-opening as the ones I've read to you, but so we were there for 10 days. We were at the major Rath Yatra festival when the deities left the temple and they went down to the Gundicha temple down at the end of the Grand Road. And Jagannath does it every year on the pretense that he's caught a cold during his snana, his bath. And he needs some sea air. Of course, it's on the sea. And they take him out on the chariot, on the cart. So he's going to get some air. And they take him to the Gundicha temple at the end of the street. And Grand Road is huge. It is extremely wide. And then we wanted to stay for the return trip on the chariots, which there's not as many people there, but there's still a few hundred thousand people there, nonetheless. So We were there for a particular ceremony in the evening, and we had this great see, we always have these great seats high up, looking down over the Gundicha temple. We can't go into the temple, but the deities were outside in the Ratiyatri. The carts were there. And after we returned, I had a slight meditation. I won't go into the details, but I was meditating on Jagannath Subhadra all day. And in the meditation, I was told, tomorrow we have a surprise for you. I said, oh, okay, sounds good. Tomorrow was the return, Ratiyatra, from Gundicha back to the main temple. So in that one, we had another great place at the top of this restaurant, up higher, overlooking Grand Road. So you're not in the midst of it all, but you can see everything. And Balaram came by, his chariot. Subhadra's chariot came by. Now the man himself, Jagannath. The chariots have these huge, huge ropes, two ropes, and the people pull the ropes, as I'm sure most of you know. It is said that as you pull the ropes of the chariot, you are serving the Lord of the universe, and this will wipe out all kinds of negative karma, sinful reaction that you may have from many, many lifetimes. And these are the original deities. Sometimes Jagannath's chariot will stop, even though it's being pulled. This is not uncommon. And if it stops, that means he doesn't want to be pulled, and it doesn't matter how many hundreds of people are pulling, it doesn't move. It's not stuck. Nobody put the brakes on. It doesn't move. He stops where he wants. Sometimes it's for a few minutes. Sometimes it's for a day. Sometimes it's for a week. Depends what he wants, what mood he's in. So there we were, right in front, and he stopped right in front of us. That, I'm told, is very auspicious if Jagannath stops his chariot in front of you. And then our rickshaw wala, because when you watch these crowds, it's like a school of fish. And it just moves, and you know, you see there's thousands of people. If you're in the middle of it, you have no power to make yourself go this way or that way or stand still. You cannot, believe me. And when the crowds move by, all you see is the whole road covered in shoes. The shoes of those people, because they can't keep their shoes on. These people are stepping on the backs of their shoes, and etc. So you see this whole raft of shoes. That's what you see. So they gather them up, I guess, and give them in charity. the lost and found, there would be no way you could do a lost and found. Can you find one of my sandals? Sorry, you cannot. So anyway, our friend, my friend Balaram, the rickshaw wala, very nice man. He says, come on, you want to go down and pull Jagannath's cart? Yeah, I do and I don't, you know. Because if you fall down in the midst of that crowd, you're gone. You are gone, you know. I don't have youth on my side these days. So I said, yeah, I do. So Balaram is a wonderful guy. very short guy. We go down together, and he holds me by the hand, and he's leading me through the crowd, pushing through the crowd. There's Jagannath's chariot standing still. Doesn't move. And we get, and one of our other god brothers, Ramesha, he's there. He's trying to get through too. He never made it. And we get right up beside Jagannath's chariot, right in front of the rope. There I am. There's Jagannath. And then the crowd starts going like this. There's nothing I could do. I could not control myself. I could only get moved by the power of all of the crowd, all of these people moving in a certain direction. You are powerless. It's the strangest feeling. I never had it before, but I did there. Anyway, and on the inside of each rope that's attached to the chariot are military men of various descriptions, but all in uniform. Some are police, some are, I don't know all. There's many uniforms they have. But they're all there. And they all got, you know, a bottle of what? Big bottle. They need their water. It's hot. It's hot season. Well, it's the end of hot season, beginning of monsoon. So they're drinking out of those bottles, and they have a lid, you know. Some of them are empty, some of them are half full. And they say, that means put the rope down. Don't touch the rope. Don't pull, because we don't know what's going on yet. So I'm maybe 10 people away from Juggernaut. And some people didn't put the rope down. So there's one guy, one military guy, he's going down the line, and he's taking his ball, and he's whacking everybody on the head. Single one after another, he's whacking them on the head with his bottle. This is a plastic bottle. He's not hurting anybody. Put it down. Like this. Then he gets to me. I'm the only white guy there, let me tell you. Everybody else is locals. He looks at me and he goes, and then he goes, next guy, and he keeps whacking all the way down the line. Okay, all right. I didn't have to get whacked, so that's good. And then we pulled Juggernaut's chariot. Stopped again. Started again. We pulled again. Pulled twice. So that was my surprise. And then we just tried to get out of there, which was about as difficult as it was getting in. But we made it, and I kept my shoes. That's what really surprised me. My shoes were still on my feet. So that was something. So that was Juggernaut's mercy. All right. So Juggernaut Snana Yatra is coming up on Wednesday, where he's going to take his bath, and he's going to go into his sick bed for 2 weeks. And Rath Yatra, well, it's different times in Puri. It's in this time soon, July. Okay. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Jai Jagannath. Any questions or comments? Yeah, you can open it up now. I think the madman's gone away now, no? Thank you. Yes, Emily?
See the process of selecting the tree. Does that go on through Kali Yuga, like Lord Jagannath incarnate all the way through Kali Yuga?
Yep. Lord of the universe. Keeps going on. Well, since, as I began to tell the story, it started in Satya Yuga. So that's, as I explained, it's about 3 million years ago. And Juggernaut is still there.
It just seems the way things get degraded in Kali Yuga, that it seems the process might become more difficult, because it even says that truth, like forests will degrade.
Yes, well, absolutely right. You're right. So, you know, I can't say how long it's going to go, but it does say in the Vedas that when people stop worshipping God, that's when Kali Yuga will take full hold. When people stop going to temples or praying and acknowledging God and understanding the importance of that in their lives, that's what's going to happen. So yes, you're correct. But I'm not going to sit here and predict what this guy has in his mind. Lord Juggernaut, thank you so much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.